Incidentally, we're still recording.
That's like a whole episode of cold open.
Outtakes, yeah.
You're good for a month now, or 2 months of episodes. All right, are we good?
Mm-hmm.
What's up? This is Movies on Up. Fly away home. I'm here with my co-pilot, Mr. Ryan. We're taking home another episode of Movies on Up. Our tagline for this week, fly away home. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or the Twitter, @moviesonup. If you're right and we pick you, we'll send a messenger bird, lady or male, to your home. Maybe travel cross country to drop off the Movies on Up prize package. This week, Birds of Prey flies into theaters. The DC Comics Suicide Squad follow-up?
Spin-off.
It's got Harley Quinn. It looks the same, like, tone-wise. Starring Ewan McGregor as Black Mask. And then Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. Mary Elizabeth Winstead as Huntress. Journey Smollett-Bell as Black Canary. Rosie Perez as Renee Montoya. Chris Messina is Victor Zsasz, which I'm interested to see. And then Ella J. Bosco is Cassandra Cain. This one was interesting, and I want to get into it, because a lot of times we'll look for like an actor or actress that we can do a full list on, but sometimes their filmographies aren't that big, or it would be a case of, yeah,
I
could come up with 5 Mary Elizabeth Winstead movies.
Yeah.
But Ryan would probably come up with the same 5.
Came pretty damn close.
Yeah, so... We're doing the ladies of Birds of Prey this episode. The ones I just listed, minus Ewan McGregor.
Then Messina.
Margot Robbie, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Jenny Smollett-Bell, who hasn't really done much, Rosie Perez, Bojana Novakovic, I snuck her in. She plays Erica, but she's built kind of high, so I used her anyway. Ali Wong doesn't have a character name, and then Ella J. Bosco, she hasn't done much
but
either.
But I suspect Ali Wong's got a... movie on your list.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Definitely. Maybe. Huh?
So it's our favorite movies of those. And as we were going through, I realized, oh, I could do a top 5 of Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
And that really shouldn't surprise anybody.
No.
If you've listened to us for any length of time.
Because I think she's so incredibly underrated. She's one of those that they go back. Her filmography goes back quite a bit.
She's been in like some big stuff and she's been fine. In that she's turned in some fucking amazing performances in movies nobody has seen, though that is not for lack of effort on our part.
I like her, and then Rosie Perez. It's like, oh, I could do a top 5 Rosie Perez.
Sure.
So perhaps we should have done a split episode where Ryan does Mary Elizabeth and I do Rosie Perez, but instead we're doing the ladies of Birds of Prey. So Ryan, your number 5 favorite movie from the ladies of Birds of Prey
is a Mary Elizabeth Winstead movie, and it's one of the ones that people have seen. It's a movie you hate from a director you love. It's Scott Pilgrim versus the World from 2010. Edgar Wright, of course, the director. Michael Cera as Scott Pilgrim. Mary Elizabeth Winstead
Ramona Flowers.
And Jason Schwartzman. I mentioned last week John C. McGinley playing a great villain in Belko Experiment. Jason Schwartzman is absolutely, if you want a comic book villain, but a real life version of that, Schwartzman's the guy. And this movie... I don't have any kind of history with the source material. I knew it was based on a comic book, but it almost felt more to me like this movie was based on a video game that may have been based on a comic book.
It's based on a comic book that was very video game heavy.
It watches like a video game. There's health bars. It's over the top. Very, very visual. Not that Edgar Wright isn't a visual director, but he pulls out all the stops in this. And it's just a fun movie. Mary Elizabeth Winstead is... from what I know, which is not much, I think she's kind of a great, ideal, cool girl for our hero to kind of spend the entirety of the movie fighting
she's
dudes.
She's a good dream girl.
Yeah, exactly. She's like that girl at Hot Topic all the dorks want to talk to, but they're too afraid to. She's got the blue hair. She can pull that off for what she's asked to do. And this is mostly Michael Cera doing ninja kicks, beating up, what is he? Superman and Captain America? Is he getting both in this movie? Or?
Yeah, and Punisher. Well, Punisher not really, but Punisher shows up.
Yeah, I think it's a fun movie. Again, having no connection to the source material, that didn't bother me one way or the other. I just like Edgar Wright, so at this point I was going to watch it. And it might be one of the first times I really remember seeing her. she doesn't necessarily, because the character's kind of flat, you know what I mean? She's a good ideal of a girl, but like, there's cooler ones in the movie.
I want to love this movie because I love Edgar Wright, and I wish I hadn't read the material, because if I went in blind without already hating the characters, like, I'd maybe like it, because it's a perfectly done adaptation. You could not adapt the books any better than this, and that's why I don't like it. I didn't like the books. Maybe if I'd have seen the movie first.
It's a good adaptation of something you didn't like.
Yeah, it's a perfect adaptation of something I didn't like from a director I love with a cast I love. But my number five, there's a couple ways to do these lists. Sometimes you do the list and then it's like, oh, I'm just going to put all five. Oh, it doesn't matter who gets, if there's three Margot Robbies and two Mary Elizabeth Winsteads. Sometimes I'll do it, you know, one from each actor if I have it narrowed down to five. I had it four. I had four different actresses in my one through four, and I didn't want to repeat for number five. So I did stretch out a little bit, and I went to Erica, played by, not one of the Birds of Prey, but played by Bojana Novakovic, because you know what? If I can sneak a monster movie onto a list, I'm going to sneak a monster movie onto a list. And if I can sneak an Irish horror movie onto a list, I'm going to sneak an Irish horror movie onto a list. So, starring Bojana Novakovic and Joseph Maui from 2015, directed by Corin Hardy, who just recently did The Nun. It is The Hallow. It's an isolated Irish movie. They happen to move into a house in the middle of nowhere, and it turns out the woods that surround them are filled with demonic creatures. That's it. It's a competent movie. The director worked his way into the Wannaverse, which is the mainstream horror. So there's chops there. She's really good. It's a good dynamic between the two leads. And I like demonic monsters.
Sure. I don't think you're going to see that on many other lists.
Nope.
Related to this movie. You may see my number four. You may have to bump this one down because it is, I don't know. It may not be your Rosie Perez movie, but it is my Rosie Perez movie.
If it is, I'll switch it.
She's third billed against the two leads, and that, of course, Wesley Snipes, Woody Harrelson, okay, in Ron Shelton's White Men Can't Jump from 1992. Perez's Gloria is really the only one in this movie trying to legitimately use her talent. In this case, it is, she's a hell of a quiz show player. Woody and Wes are hustling. All three are looking for this big payday, but it does seem like Gloria's determination is going to be the thing that gets it for her. She's the only character that has her shit together in this movie, and you root for her. The other guys, you kind of get to see them warts and all, but her character is one of the very few that's just, she's a good person. I kind of wish that like she could just get out on her own and not be caught up in all this bullshit, because these guys kind of suck. They're big play in life here is just to win this dumb beach basketball tournament. She's got goals and she's got a plan to reach those goals and a legitimate plan at that. It is a basketball movie, and the basketball is, I think, what everybody thinks about when they think of White Men Can't Jump. But I think of Rosie Perez on the TV answering those questions in a movie that shouldn't have been hers. That character made it hers.
This is peak Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
This is, he's still a giant movie star. This is him before he gave up on comedies, which is a shame. And this is like big TV star Woody Harrelson before he was a big movie star. For her to jump out like that, it's a lot like Marissa Tomei in My Cousin Vinny. You're in this male-driven movie, but you jump out quite a bit. It was one of my also-rans. It did not make, because I only put one Rosie Perez movie. It would have been very high had I done a top five Rosie Perez. My number four is my Mary Elizabeth Winstead movie, but it's not my favorite Mary Elizabeth Winstead movie. It's just one that I don't feel like I've talked about enough. There's two others that you might have, so I didn't want to cross over.
I have one of the other ones.
It's from a franchise that this was like the end of it. They made more after this, but one was good, two was really good, and then three starred Mary Elizabeth Winstead. It is from 2006, directed by James Wong, Final Destination 3. This was early Mary Elizabeth Winstead. That she was kind of in that Scream Queen category. She got her Final Destination 3. She was in the Black Christmas remake.
Mm-hmm. Did another horror movie that shall not be spoken of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was about, what, 5 years later?
Yeah.
I liked the early Final Destination movies. I thought one was a lot better than I expected it to be. I thought it was entertaining enough. Two was very self-aware 2 took the premise that was ridiculous in the first one and was just made almost a comedy out of it. 2 is funny. 3, not as good, but it wasn't as bad as 4 and beyond. It went 5 or 6. I don't remember.
Yeah, I think at least 5.
This was the roller coaster one. Nobody remembers Final Destination 1
right.
and 2.
They remember the
3.
Deaths.
Yeah, this was the roller coaster one. Young Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Alexis Johnson, who I liked at the time because she starred on some stupid Canadian TV teen show for teens that I was obsessed with for some reason. Amanda Crew has a small part in there. It's a snapshot in time. Like, it's a 2006 horror movie from a franchise that was, you know, less than 10 years old at the time. So I'll look fondly on Final Destination 3. It's not my favorite of them. It's not my favorite Mary Elizabeth Winstead movie, but it's my 4th favorite movie from the ladies of Birds of Prey.
My number 3, I had trouble putting it at number 3 because it is my favorite Mary Elizabeth Winstead movie. And I probably like it more than my number 2 and my number 1. However, my number 2 and my number 1 made my top of the decade list. This one did not. And it's probably just an oversight. It's not that I don't love James Ponsoldt's Smash from 2012, because we do. It was one of our first...
One of our first movie. It might have been the first movie episode we did.
I can't remember
close.
If it was that or Jurassic Park, but...
It was close. It was one of the first ones.
Yeah, that's a long time ago. You go back years to get into that one. I want to... Was it when Spectacular Now came out?
I think so.
That movie's old as shit. We love Ponsoldt, specifically those two. Loved Mary Elizabeth Winstead in this movie. Aaron Paul was amazing too. This is Aaron Paul peak, like
from July 29th, 2013.
Jeez. This is Aaron Paul, like peak Breaking Bad, Jesse Pinkman, Aaron Paul. Nick Offerman shows up in a rather cringy part for being a movie we talked about 6 years ago. I think we talk about it a lot, but maybe not often. But when we do, it's because of the leads. When I said that she puts in tremendous performances in movies that nobody sees, this is the movie that I'm talking about. She's a semi-functioning alcoholic, as is Aaron Paul's character. And there, I mean, you could argue that neither of them are really semi-functioning, but we're watching these two characters try and clean themselves up. And because both Aaron Paul and Winstead are so good together, you want them to work it out. Watching these characters is heartbreaking, and Ponsoldt has a knack for putting together these types of relationships that one or both of the characters are insanely dysfunctional and really ought not to be in a relationship, and you know it's not healthy, but you just want it to work out. And that's really what we find with Smashed. We want these characters to be able to clean up so that they can stay together. And her performance is just amazing. And I wish I could have put it higher on my list, but then it would have really called into legitimacy our top of the decade list. And that was only like last week. So I'm trying to let that stand up for a little bit.
The only reason it's not on my list and then I went with Final Destination instead is because I knew you would have it. I knew you would have it and I knew we'd get to talk about it.
Plus, that's righting a wrong.
Yeah. Plus we've done a whole episode on it. So it's just good. I think a hurt like... Brie Larson in Short Term 12 is one of those where, like, she was just this pretty girl. Then you see Short Term 12, and it's like, good Lord, that's a phenomenal performance. And nobody saw that movie.
Right.
You know, I think they have later, but...
it went back after she became Oscar award winner.
Yeah, and then this was one of those where it's like, to find better performances from that year would be tough because she was really, really good. And I want her doing more stuff like that, which she doesn't get a lot of, which is disappointing. My number 3, Ali Wong's in Birds of Prey as an unnamed character.
She's in a movie last summer, too.
She was also in From 2019, directed by Ninjata Khan.
Ninjata Khan.
Written by Michael Gallicamo and Randall Park. Also co-starring Randall Park. Always Be My Maybe. This was a Netflix rom-com starring Ali Wong, Randall Park, and Shredder from the original Turtles movie. And Michelle Buteau.
Not Kevin Nash.
No, James Sato.
He was Super Shredder, the wrestler,
yeah,
Diesel.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I know.
I was explaining it for the people out there, not for you. I knew
Super
you
Shredder was 2.
Yes.
Yeah, because James Sato wasn't Shredder in 2 either, so. Yeah, it's a fun.
Shredder on up.
It's a fun rom-com. I love Netflix original movies because I try not to stay in my lane. I try to watch movies that are kind of outside of what I would normally be into.
I think rom-coms might be your lane now.
It might be now.
Yeah.
But like in 2018 when Set It Up.
The Summer of Love.
Yeah, when Set It Up and P.S. I Love You, those movies came out. I'd have never gone to see those in theaters. I wouldn't have paid to rent them. I'd maybe watch them if they were on HBO or something. But with Netflix, like I'll just throw it on. And you know what? They sometimes end up being some of the funnest movies of the year. And that's what always be my maybe is. I like Randall Park. I like him in all the movies I've seen him in. I like her. She's fun. She's a great stand-up. Their chemistry is great. You could tell he wrote it because it's written for him. He used to be in a rap comedy band. His character's in a rap comedy band. It's these high school sweethearts that grew apart, went different places, and then is that same chemistry there 10, 15 years later? Or does one of them end up dating Keanu Reeves? It's a fun movie. It's really, really funny. Keanu Reeves jumps in and is great. One of the best movie cameos ever. Hard to call it a cameo.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Everybody built it as a cameo.
Roles?
Yeah, but he's in it a good bit. If it were just the dinner scene, like it goes on past that though. So it's just such a fun movie. And I love it. Give me these rom-coms all day, every day. I'll watch them as long as they're on Netflix. I don't have to go out of my way to see them.
I want to say, so we've gone to my number two. So we've done three and you've done three.
We're on your number two, yeah.
Yeah, we've done six movies. Nary a mention of the star of Birds of Prey. I suspect that's about to change. Actually, I know it is because my number two and number one both star Margot Robbie. And my number two is kind of where I first, I don't want to say noticed her because that's going to be creepy.
See, I didn't leave. I left this off.
You left
this off? I think I know what it is just because.
You might. Because
I don't really remember her in it.
She's noticeable. In Martin Scorsese's The Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
Yeah, that one. From 2013. Starring Leo, Jonah Hill, and the aforementioned Ms. Robbie. The next two movies on my list are movies that were on my top of the decade. So they're movies that I absolutely loved. And just so happens, Margot Robbie's in both of them. So I could not put them on this list. I think everyone in The Wolf of Wall Street, specifically some of the smaller parts, just shows up and absolutely kills it. McConaughey is a guy that we talked last week about Affleck showing up in Boiler Room and making like a big splash in a small amount of screen time.
Oh yeah, that's McConaughey.
Yeah,
that's
McConaughey, Barenthal, speaking of The Punisher, Jon Favreau, and Margot Robbie take smaller parts and make huge impacts in this movie. It's a story that's just nuts. It couldn't possibly be true except for the fact that it kind of is. When you were talking about Boiler Room last week, the whole scamming part of it, you can't help but think of The Wolf of Wall Street selling the penny stocks. And I guess if I'd have fought hard, maybe you can figure out a way that by working for Belfort, it wasn't necessarily what you thought it was. Although I kind of feel like most of the people there knew.
They knew.
And they bought into it. So maybe it wasn't super appropriate for last week's list, but I knew it was going to find a home for this week's, and it's certainly a much better fit on this list. I want to say it didn't take her long from being here's an attractive girl in a movie to getting to the point where she's leading her own stuff now. This is 2013, and it's not like 2020 is the first time she's doing that. I mean, you could make the argument that she led Suicide Squad years ago, but yeah, she's to the point now where she's getting big time acting roles. And you could kind of see some of it here. She has a fun part in this.
I followed her because I used to do a podcast with a guy named Eric. Hold on. Let me look up the show real quick.
I believe it was called Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave.
Yes. Yeah, I was on that show.
Oh, I thought that's what you were looking up.
No.
No.
I used to do a podcast with the dude Eric. He used to hate when I would just text him random facts or just random things. He hated out of context texts, and that's all I would ever text them. And there was a show on NBC at the time starring Amanda Peet. Her co-star was this lady called Margot Harshman. I mentioned it randomly to him about how I didn't like the show, and he said, oh, Margot Harshman's on that show. I love her. She's going to be a big star. And then I never thought twice about it, and then I start seeing Margot Robbie everywhere. And in my head, I was thinking like, oh, Margot Robbie from that show.
Eric called it.
She's becoming a big star. So I would just start texting him just random, like, Margot Robbie got cast in Suicide Squad as Harley Quinn. Like, she is going to blow up. And he would just get so mad because, like, why am I texting him about this random actress we've never talked about? So I followed her from that. But yeah, it's been fun to see her blow up and kind of go. My number two is Rosie Perez. And I thought maybe you were going to get there when you were talking about White Men Can't Jump, because you talk about the two male leads. She's the first billed female in 2008's Pineapple Express, directed by David Gordon Green, starring Seth Rogen, James Franco, and Danny McBride. She's the female cop. She's one of the villains. It was the first I'd seen Rosie Perez in a while, and it was nice. It was from 2008. I always liked Rosie Perez. I love Rosie Perez. So to see her in this like big-time summer release, it was awesome to see. And she's funny in it. She's not the comic relief in this movie. She's not what she was in a lot of the 80s movies, where she's this counterbalance to more calm characters. She was just really, really good. She was playing Rosie Perez as a cop, and it worked. She's in a very funny movie with a bunch of funny men and still sticks out, still does a good job of kind of stealing the scene she's in. She's lower billed than she is in most of my also-ran starring Rosie Perez, but if I can sneak Pineapple Express onto a list, I'm doing it.
I thought you were going Fearless. I thought we were going to, like, the Rosie Perez Academy Award nominated movie. I thought that was going to be it. If it wasn't White Man Can't Jump, I was like, all right.
It was going to be this or Untamed Heart.
Okay. I mean,
because I love me some Untamed
Heart. Right. You can't really go wrong there, but like, that woman was nominated for an Oscar. Just wanted to make sure that that got out there. Margot Robbie was nominated for an Oscar. And I thought that that might be Dave's movie. So I'm not going to use that one. I'm going to use a movie that just about everybody else was nominated for an Oscar for, but not her. And that was from just last year, Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, starring Leo Brad Pitt and Margot. I like this one too. It was another one that made my best of the decade list, and obviously my best of last year. While Tarantino's reimagining didn't turn out terribly well for Bruce Lee, Robbie's Sharon Tate makes out much better. And I tried to know as little about this movie as possible. When it was first filming, people were like, oh, Tarantino's making a Manson family movie and Margot Robbie's playing Sharon Tate. And if you know how that story turns out, you're like, oh, all right, well,
Hillary Duff will do it better.
We're going to see Margot Robbie be killed horribly. And as you're watching her in this movie, she's got a couple scenes with her husband, Polanski. He doesn't have much to do in this movie except drive a car and have wind blow through his hair. But we kind of spend some time with Sharon Tate as she's just going about her life in Hollywood, whether she's going to see the movie that she's in. I enjoy that scene where she's kind of getting to experience being a movie star a little bit. Like, oh, hey, here's this movie I'm in. Do you want my picture in front of the marquee? And, you know, she's watching people laugh at her performance up there. So she's got like this naivete going for her, and she doesn't have a terrible amount of screen time or a ton of lines in this movie, but she makes you kind of care about Sharon Tate. You know, she dies. This dread is just built up like, ah, shit, we're going to watch this character die. I think a lot of it is just because of what she put into it. The charm and likability she was able to squeeze into her time on screen. Us thinking we know where this story is going to go, and then where it actually does go, I was glad to see it. It is not a movie about Sharon Tate. It is very much about DiCaprio and Brad Pitt. Pitt somehow got a nomination for it, and I believe in his Golden Globe speech, he was like, I don't really understand. Like, I don't think I did much acting in this, which is probably accurate. But it was a movie that I liked an awful lot. Like I said before, it was Tarantino not trying to over Tarantino things, just kind of telling a little bit of a love story for a particular time and a particular place with some characters that were certainly around in that time and place. And I can understand where Bruce Lee's family might have a problem with his depiction in that movie, but I don't think Sharon Tate's would.
My number one, it is a Margot Robbie movie, the one that she was nominated for an Oscar for. Her mom in the movie won an Oscar from 2017's I, Tonya, directed by Craig Gillespie. This is one of those where the opposite of what you said about that movie, where you wanted to go and not knowing anything. I lived through the Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan thing. You know, I'd wake up super early in the morning and watch the repeat of SportsCenter like four times before going to school, and then come home after school and watch the 6 o'clock SportsCenter every night. Like, I was in sports big time. So when this happened, I was into it because this was like my world. Like, I didn't care about the Olympics, but like, oh my God.
I think everybody was. Like, it was just a huge, I mean, it was certainly less dramatic than the OJ case, but a sport nobody gave a shit about, really, except for during the Olympics. And now in the lead up to the Olympics, oh my God, we got like some Jerry Springer type stuff going
on. Yeah, it was insane. Tonya does a really good job because it doesn't, and Tonya Harding's become a caricature since then. Like, her return to public life has just been like the celebrity boxing and stuff. She was a trailer trash girl that had talent. She got thrust into a life that her nor anybody she grew up around had any clue how to deal with it. And this movie does a really good job of doing that. It's not just about the clubbing. It's a Tonya Harding biopic, pretty much. Shows where she comes up, how she comes there, how it gets to that point, and then after that. Like, it was a really good movie. It was really well done. I thought she was great. Like, she transforms herself into Tonya Harding. It was really, really good. Sebastian Stan was great. That Paul Walter Hauser, who went on to play
Richard Jewell,
like, he was great in this movie is Sean, the guy who does the clubbing.
Yeah. Galooly's hitman.
Yeah, it's just
henchman.
It's such a good movie. It got hyped up at the end of that year, and it's like, yeah, it's worth it. Like, it's one of those that, like, whether you know the story or not, like, it's such a fascinating story. Like, it'll keep you interested whether you're learning about it or you know about it. It's just such a fun movie about a dark topic, which is, it's entertaining. It's very light tone. It covers some darker stuff, but the tone of it, it feels like you're watching a comedy, even when there aren't laughs and even when there's serious stuff going on. Like, Margot Robbie's Bombshell from this year is the same. Like, it has the tone of a comedy, even when it's not. But yeah, so that was my number one. Did you have any also-rans?
Again, if we were going to do the Mary Elizabeth Winstead list, I mean, Cloverfield Lane, I thought was really good in that.
Sky High?
Yeah.
That's an underrated, like, teen superhero movie.
Technically, she was in Spectacular Now, not in it very
much. Yeah, I left that off because she shows up.
But fuck it, I love that movie. I'll put it on another list.
Well, that's how Margot Robbie was in About Time.
Right.
She was the friend, and that's what I thought you were going, kind of, because that was on our decades list. And
it was, but that one I didn't feel
That's where I jumped in. It's like, oh, that's why I left this off, because I didn't want it to be. Because, she's in it. Yeah, I had Unnamed Heart, White Men Can't Jump.
She was good in that Tina Fey movie, that Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, Margot Robbie.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, she's one of those that's pretty much, she's good. Like, even that Will Smith movie, Focus, but she's good in it. Like, it's not a bad movie. Them two together, I mean, they both give performances. Like, that's worth a watch. I just didn't necessarily like it, but she's one of those that...
We'll be able to do a top five of her, I would say, very soon.
Yeah, I mean, she was in this movie, Terminal. It was an Australian movie a few years ago that seemed up my alley, but it was really bad. So that didn't make the list. But her and Mary Elizabeth Winstead, I think, are two that I would love to see Mary Elizabeth Winstead get to the point that Margot Robbie is. But
and if it takes her having to be in Birds of Prey, so be it. Not that you need my blessing, but make some money with this and then go on and do something else, because they're both super talented.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll see more of just in Margot's upcoming, like, we have the Suicide Squad, the James Gunn Suicide, we know that's going to happen. There's a Gotham City Sirens movie that I guess is kind of on hold right now. And then the untitled Joker Harley Quinn project, which I'm pretty sure that's on hold too. But DC saw Suicide Squad's like, we want to make as many movies with Harley Quinn as we can.
Yes. And I think they were right to do that.
Yeah. So that's it. Birds of Prey comes out this week. Go see that. Next week is something we've been building up to for years. We've always joked about doing this episode for Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day falls on a Friday, which is when episodes come out now. So we are going to watch a movie that neither of us have seen. So we'll be watching it for the first time. The Notebook, starring, I don't know, Rachel McAdams, James Marsden, Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
So,
I've seen parts of this movie before.
See, I haven't seen any. I know nothing about it. I think there's old people in it somewhere.
Yeah.
James Garner, maybe?
I don't know.
I think he's
Sissy
Ryan
Spacek,
Gosling.
Maybe?
I don't know.
Who knows?
I guess I'll find out, because we're watching The Notebook, and we'll be talking about it next week. So until then,
keep it up.